invite on here, and I know y'all like, girl, why are you on Instagram? Why are you on Instagram? And that is because, hey, why we ain't just do Instagram from
Joe? I do not know. What? Because, you know, you was using Facebook the whole time, so
maybe. I know. Facebook sucks. All right, well, we're here at 10:20. We done spent like an hour trying to figure out how to go live. And why? Okay, this thing coming up. Okay. All right, well, I'ma just hop right into it because it's late and we got work in the morning and stuff like that. Wait, can you see my whole face? Because I feel like my head cut off.
Yeah, the top of your
cut off.
But I can see, like, now I can see your cool, beautiful face.
Oh, thank you. This is just so ghetto. That's what happens when you try to change stuff. Hey, everybody that's joined in.
Hello, everyone.
Hold on, I gotta figure out my camera stuff. God, that ain't gonna work. Y'all, I'm acting like the lady that's technologically challenged. I'm gonna have to use
the book. Not you. It's all because it's the same Facebook and Instagram. It seems like it has the same process and setup, but for some reason, it's simple.
Right. Let me see if I got this little thing.
Hi, brother.
There we go. I got a little stand right here. I had this stand right here this whole time. Anywho, hi everybody. So we are here. It's day 16 of the 30 days of prayer and encouragement that I've been doing on Facebook Live. We have not done this. I have not done this on Instagram. And we initially did do it on Facebook Live. Hey, Wynette. We initially did it on Facebook Live, tried to go live on there, but we couldn't. And so we're here on Instagram. So it must be meant for us to talk about this subject on Instagram. It must be some people that God want us to help on here. So these 16 days, these 30 days, and the 16 days of 30 days, God has led me to talk about different topics and just encourage people in his word and pray. Today I felt led to bring on a very special friend of mine, a woman of faith, an amazing woman of God, mother, friend. I know I should be hyping her up, but it's the truth. Like, she is just amazing. And we call each other faith friends, FF. She's one of my best friends, my closest friends. We've been friends for 20 years now. It's been a long time. We've been friends since like 12, 11, something like that in middle school. So it's been a very long time. And if there's anybody that I want to talk about faith with and being a godly woman and a faith-filled woman, it is my friend, Say Mo. So ain't gonna go today, y'all. But so I'm excited to have her on here today, and we just gonna talk about like just being a godly woman. Like, where does our strength come from trying to be a godly woman in today's society, in our lives with managing and handling so many different things, and just talking about our journey as women of God. So I'm hop right in. Yeah. Simone, if you want to share anything about yourself, I don't know if you want to share anything about yourself.
I just want to thank you for that beautiful introduction. And I'm just thankful for what you see in me because, you know, even earlier when you told me the title, I was like intimidated. But it also spoke a testament to what we're talking about today and what it led me to in scripture. So I'm just excited to jump into it. And I'm just thankful for you that you're doing this. It's been so good each and every day. Even the few days when I wasn't able to watch live, I went and watched the playback. So I'm glad that you said yes when God put this on your heart. And I'm looking forward to what God has to say tonight. Let's see.
All right, all right. right, so let's hop on into it. So the strength of a woman. So Simone. Okay, so for y'all that don't know Simone, people that are watching, Simone is a wife, has been a wife for 10 years, right, y'all? 10 years, 11 years?
2011.
Okay.
So I would say
almost 12 years. Wow. So she's a wife of 12 years, a mom of five. She's a business owner. First of all, Simone was owning businesses before this became a trend. I'm just going to say it. Like, she was selling hair. Like, she was doing it way before this became a trend. And then she transitioned to selling tools and resources for us as Christians and believers to help us in our walk in our relationship with God, which I'm going to put a plug in, get your prayer planners and your faith friend journals. But, and then she's like, did I already say you're a mom of five?
Yeah.
She's a mom of five, businesswoman, career woman, wife. Serves in ministry, all these different things that she's doing. And I know for me personally, with all the different things I have going on, I am tired. I'm tired a lot of times. And I'm like, man, like, this is a lot. But I know God has called me to all these things. And I know that I need to be present in all these things. And I know that I need to give my best to all these areas. So, like, from you, like, how do you manage all your responsibilities? Like, how do you healthily manage all these different things that God has blessed you with?
So the first thing that I learned, so when I first learned I was pregnant and I was becoming a mother and a wife all at the same time, I was really heavy into the books, the blogs. At the time, there wasn't a lot of social media back in 2011. It was more blogs and stuff like that. And I was just reading and trying to figure out what to do, what do I need to do, what is the routine, what is expected as a mother, what do I need to hit. And I just got finished taking like a marriage class before we got married and still had all the books and materials. And what I learned through trial and error is to basically strip away all expectations of other people, and how I make it work for myself is whatever me works for me. And at the same time, my mother, to me, she's like the goal, like, for me. So if I ever feel like, okay, my way is not working, I do have someone that I look up to and who has set the standard. But for example, because I have five children, and I definitely take advantage of using them to help me around the house. So what it looks like for me is getting my older children engaged, getting them to help me, also doing things that are convenient to me. At first I was trying to, they would say whenever the baby sleep or whatever. And what I was doing was when the baby was asleep, I was trying to hurry up and get things done because I done before my husband got home, so he can come home and things be straight. But I started listening and saying, okay, when the baby sleep, I'm gonna sleep. And then what I found is that while I was sleeping during the day, I was getting a lot of stuff done at night. So I became out and up at night doing chores, doing my schoolwork. That's how I started researching and started developing these businesses and stuff like that. So being non-traditional is what works for me, doing things my way, knowing the strengths of my children and not comparing them to others and what milestones they need to hit. I told you before, I made the mistake of letting other people's opinion cause me to get my toddlers at the time evaluated. They're like, oh, they're not doing that. And I fed into it. And nothing was wrong with them. So from that, I learned to just do things your way, what's best for you. You know your children best. You know your husband best. You know your family best. And you know what you can handle. As long as it gets done, it gets done. It doesn't need to be a certain way, a certain style, a certain time. So that would be how I manage. And I also like to say that God has blessed me. I have an amazing husband who helps me a lot and who's very much involved which I'm very thankful for. And that just came with years of experience. That comes with maturity. So just give yourself time. Give yourself time, give your spouse time for you both to just like grow and to develop in whatever works for y'all. Cause it doesn't start off like that. It's like, I said, this is from 2011 to now. So where I am now is definitely not where I was.
Right.
And I'm still
growing. Yeah, no. Oh, that's really good. And like the point that you made about like stripping away the expectations, because I know that we as women, and in this beyond just social media era, just like being raised by other women, we can look at, you know, people that came before us or people that had a hand in raising us or other women that we've watched. We think like what they do has to be what we do. And how they did it has to be how we have to do it. And it's hard sometimes to be like, okay, they're not me, I'm not them. Their child is not mine. My child's not theirs. Like you said, stripping away that expectation, that could be hard. That could be like super hard because you have in your mind how you want things to be and how you want things to go. And when they don't go like that, you have to adjust. It's hard. Like I know for me, it's hard. And that's one thing I'm learning to like really to let go of the expectations, to like let go. Cause I am a person that likes to be in some type of control. That's like a part of my personality type that I'm working on. But with my son and being a mom, like you really have like very little control, if any. Like control is an illusion. Like you have to some days just go with the flow. Cause if you don't, you'll be stressed out. And if you don't, you'll be frustrated comparing yourself to other moms and comparing your child to other kids and just different things. And you just get caught up in just this negative place that you shouldn't be in the first place, because what God has blessed you with is what he's blessed you with and what you need to steward over and what you need to understand and grow in and develop in. So that's really good. That's really good. Really good point. So my next question. So as a woman of faith, as a woman who has this amazing relationship with God that's always evolving and growing, but as a woman with all these different responsibilities, how do you find time to continue to grow in your relationship with God and keep it fresh? Because that's hard. It's hard. First of all, our lives are just busy, right? We're just busy. It's just busy. Like we all got schedules and we like trying to pencil each other in and different things, but then you add in, you know, having a career, and you add in trying to do ministry, and you add in your kids, and then you just add in these different things, and time just, it just seems like it's just less time to spend with God, but we want to grow in our relationship. Like, how do you find the time to continue to grow?
Right. So I would say years ago, for me, it was more about how do I find time for God? When can I plug him? When can I step away? When can I have time to myself or time where I can just really focus, whether it was read the Bible or pray? But that has changed. Mm-hmm. Now is I cannot function without God. I do not have without God. I cannot make it through my day without God. And that just makes me believe that God put me in this situation, on my job and situations at home and with different people that I'm connected to, that he put me in a place to where I need him in order to do what I'm supposed to do and to get through it and to be who I want to be a woman of God, while doing these tasks and responsibilities I have. So for me, God is my lifeline and he is my peace. So now it's like, it's just no option.
Yeah.
And really love, that's really convenient for me, which I recently became comfortable with, because I used to feel like if I'm not reading my Bible, like physically reading word for word, then I'm not really reading it. Mm-hmm. But you know, when our girl Priscilla Shire, she had said in a podcast, she was like, you know what, she was saying, I think she was explaining that she was going through one season to where she just needed to hear the word, and she was to the Bible, and I was like, wow. So if I listen to the Bible, that's considered like reading. I was like, oh, great. So now what's really easy for me I listen to the Bible mostly while I'm working. I have my earbuds in, or I'll just let it play. I'm like, hopefully somebody else will hear it. They need this. I'll just let it play. Also, what has really changed my life is that I have been convicted to be uncomfortable with praying. And what I mean by that is that I would pray in a way that was very comfortable, that didn't feel strange or weird, because I didn't want to feel like I'm talking to myself. Mm-hmm. But about 2 weeks ago, God was like, that is not going to cut it. I need you to talk to me like I'm a real person, like we have It doesn't matter how you feel, but that there's power in that when you just get real and talk flat out like your friend or your husband. So I said, okay. So I was in my car, and I was like, people think I'm on Bluetooth anyway. So get out your mind. So I just started talking out loud. It's, God, I'm about to go in here today. I need you to touch my mind. I need you to give me. I was just telling him exactly what I needed, what I was expecting to go through. And I just felt so empowered. I felt so encouraged. And I felt invincible, because I was like, okay, I talked to God. He done what I need. Now I'm ready to go in here and do what I need to do. I just would say that I have no other option. And now I pray uncomfortable.
That's good. So that kind of goes back to what you said earlier, like not being so caught up in like the traditional way of doing things. Like, you had to adjust based on your circumstances, how your life was going. That is so good, and it's just so true. And I pray and I hope that helped other people, because I've had people reach out to me just saying how they just, it's just hard to quote unquote, they ain't saying it in these words, but like to fit God in their schedule. But like, from what you're saying, it's not even about fitting God. It's just having that understanding that I can't do life without God. Like, I can't fit God in nothing. God needs to be it. And I'm navigating with God through this. Cause, and that's what the whole strength of a woman is about. Because like you said, you talked to God and you felt empowered to be able to do the things that he called you to do. And without that prayer life, without that foundation, without that anchor in the Lord, like with all the stuff we got to manage, it's just no way. Like, it's just no way that I could see like how I would be able to navigate this life in a healthy way without having that relationship with God.
Right.
Like, I need to have, like, that's literally my strength. Like, some days I feel like, man, I just can't. Like, it's just, like, I'm tired. And like you said, just having that honest conversation, like, God, I'm tired, but I need you. And I need you to strengthen me. I need you to help me. I need you to empower me. And you know, the power of prayer is just so real. Like, God will literally strengthen you. He will give you the grace and ability that you need to make it through and do the things that he called you to do. So I just think that's so good and so true. Where do you, so we talked about that. So like those really hard days that you have, like, is prayer what gets you through, or is there anything else that gets you through as far as your relationship with God, like those really hard days? Like, how do you press through those days?
So the really hard days become hard to me when I become like mentally consumed in a problem, whether offense, because I'm offended something, or because I feel misunderstood. It just really consumes my mind, and I just basically just feel miserable mentally. And I'm like, why do I have this situation? Why do I have to be here? And my immediate response is always worship. It's always music is my vehicle into God's presence. And in his presence is where I always have peace. I have love. I have understanding, all the things that I'm looking for in man to fulfill for me at the time. I just go to God for him to fulfill that for me. So I would say that worship music is my quickest way to recover her from whenever I whatever I'm going through, and to actually just get my mind right and remember where my strength comes from, which is from God. And what I love about worship music, especially a lot of the worship music that I'm listening to now, is that it's not music that is praising God for what he's doing for me.
God for who is. Yes.
Just so good because he's a good God. He's just so holy and he's so worthy. So it's like, in spite of my circumstances, just who he is gives me incredible confidence. I know I'm going to come out of this and I'm already victorious just for the simple fact that I'm connected to him.
Yes. Dang, that's so good. So true. My God. Changing our, because I deal with the same thing too. Like, I'll have those, the hard days are really a lot of days where I've gotten, like, I'm tired. And if I'm tired, then, you know, I'm probably not where I need to be mentally, or is those definitely those mental battles, those thoughts that the enemy try to send to try to distract you and discourage you, and then you just battle it, and you're just like, and that's just, it's so true. Like, turning that worship music on and being reminded of who our God is, like how much bigger he is than our situation, how he's given us power and authority over our thoughts and over our circumstances. And even if he's not answering our prayer right now, just knowing that we're in relationship with the God that can do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing. Like, that's so good. God is so good. So faithful, man. Like, it's amazing. So what are some things that you do to encourage and strengthen yourself? Like, I know you said worship music and prayer, but is there like any like daily things or routine things that you do, like, as a woman too? Because first of all, as a godly woman, like, we ain't really the most, you know, the trendiest thing. First of all, we ain't trendy. We ain't the most popular, you know, stuff going on. Like, when we look out, of course we find our people that we look at, that we, you know, are inspired by different things, but that's not the, like, culture. It's not like a, you know, godly women are like, you know, this popularized group of people, which, you know, that's not what we're doing. But I'm just saying, like, when you look out and see other women that aren't necessarily perpetuating the lifestyle you're trying to live,
right,
or the family that you're trying to grow up, the marriage that you're trying to have, like, how do you, like, encourage yourself to remember, like, man, even though this is what the world is doing or what the world is saying, I'm still where I need to be in my relationship with God. I'm still pursuing the things that God wants to have for me. And that's the right thing. Like, how do you stay encouraged in that and strengthened in that?
Yeah, so first of all, I would say that when I found out that I was pregnant with my firstborn son, that was in 2011, I automatically said, I want to be a great mother. I want to do the right thing. I don't want a child's life. And I knew the only way to do that because of my mother is to be a woman of God. So I had a very strong conviction and a very strong desire to yearn and want the things of Christ. So I immediately had stopped listening to rap music, to R&B music, to all secular music. I made a decision that I was in Miami. I was going to parties. I was getting drunk at the time. Clearly, I was having sex. I got pregnant before I got married. So I was doing all the things that I was not supposed to be doing. And my heart had totally transformed. And what's very interesting is before I got pregnant, that New Year's, I went to a New Year's service with two of my closest friends in Miami, and the pastor had us to write on pieces of paper and lay it at the altar. And I wrote the things that I just mentioned, what I was struggling with, those up on that piece of paper and gave it, put it on the altar. So God was already preparing me for what I was about to walk into. Mm. So I would say that the first thing to be able to deal with what's not popular of being a Christian woman is to truly that be your heart's desire. Mm. But if my desire was truly the world, then it would be a struggle for me to really to be encouraged. Yeah. But I genuinely don't desire the world. Yeah. And I actually been very I've been frustrated that I have not been able to develop friendships with mm-hmm. women who have the same desire as me, yeah. Mature Christian wives, mature Christian mothers. But at the same time, I realized that God will place me with who he wants to place me with. It's not always for my benefit. It could be for the benefit of others. So that's why I'm just so thankful for technology.
Yeah.
So we're long distance. I have you have really been such a blessing to my life. And what's really unique is that while I look up to women in my church, around me, in my community that I know of and stuff like that, I genuinely am so encouraged when I look at you because I do not relate to them. They have not been through what you've been through, but I know exactly what you've been through. You know exactly what I've been through. I have a lot of similarities of what we've been through. And because I know you, I know that God is real.
Yeah.
And because I know how, for lack of better words, how cool you are, how down to earth you are, how approachable you are, how fun you are, it doesn't make God appear to be like lame or boring or lacking, like what's on trend. It just basically is our lifeline and how we've made it out in our right mind and not where we should be. So first of all, my heart's desire is God. That's what I want, because I know that's what's best for myself and that's what's best for my children and for my husband being a wife. And then I would say that I intentionally only look to women who are who I desire to be. It's who I follow on social media, who I choose to befriend or talk to or fellowship with, because I don't want to get distracted, especially in my weak moments. I have days where I'm just really, and I don't want to be connected to the wrong people and the wrong things. So in the moments that I am weak, that I'll fall into what they're in, already be connected and around the right people, to where whenever I am weak, I will be strengthened and not fall short. I wouldn't say fall short, but fall backwards. I fall short daily, but I don't want to do something totally drastic out of the character of God. That's not what I want.
That's so good, Samal. Let me charge my iPad if I got it. So for you, what keeps you encouraged and strengthened in your walk as this, as a godly woman who's trying to, you know, pursue God for her life and be this godly woman for her family and those connected to her, is first just having that desire for God in the first place, just wanting God. And then for two, connecting to other women that have that same desire for you, the same desire as you. So having people that can hold you accountable, that can pray for you, that can support you. And when you have those days where you're weak, that's there to be like, you know, the iron sharpened iron, like, all right, I know you weak right now. I know you're struggling right now, but this is what the word of the Lord says. Come on,
right.
You got it. I love that. That's so true. And I totally agree with you. And I definitely think like the beginning of like really trying to walk as a godly woman, because I know a lot of people, like I've had people reach out and say they want to get a relationship right with God and they want to change and different things like that. But the first thing has to be like this genuine and authentic desire to want to. Like, you can't, if you can't, well, people do, but it's, you know, if you're straddling the fence, you can never like really truly walk in this lifestyle that God has called us to, this being set apart, this being different. And sometimes that desire doesn't come just naturally and immediately, but that's where prayer comes in, right? Where we pray, God, give me this. We can ask God for anything. Like, I had to ask God that in the beginning because I was so in the world and I was so the way I was, but I knew that I needed to change. And to change, I knew that I needed to have more of a desire for God than I had for all the other things I was doing. So right. I had to pray for that. And through praying for that, of course, you know, God had to show me through heartbreak and disappointment that, you know, this world and these people and these things that you've been pursuing have no eternal value. They add no value to your life. They don't bring you peace. They don't bring you joy, happiness, fulfillment, none of those things. So through prayer, yeah, it brought that. But at the same time, it opened my eyes and my heart to God in such a way, like, man, like, all these things are just fleeting. Like, all these things cannot fill me exactly. and give me the things that I need. Only God can. And, yeah. So that's, you know, that's very encouraging. You know, a lot more of us, and that's an encouragement to women that watch this. Like, for those that want to grow in a relationship with God, the first thing is having that desire for Him. Like, just wanting Him, just wanting more of Him, just wanting to be in relationship with Him and being willing to go where He says go, do what He says do, say what He says, say what He wants you to say, and just all those different things. So that's amazing. And I know we have been on here for a minute. It's almost 11 o'clock, so I think I got like one more question. But I know you had something you wanted to share.
Yes. So when you told me that the topic was going to be the strength of a woman, mm-hmm. what anything I would find in the Bible, and I'm like, man, what can I find in the Bible about the strength of a woman? Like, it was like difficult.
Yeah.
That's when it came to me, and what I found in the Bible is that the strength of a woman is women who have the ability to pivot, and is that the strength of a woman, Christian women who follow Christ, who are after God's heart and long to see Him, feel His presence, and see His will be done because they know His way is best. They have the ability to pivot. And three women in the Bible that are great examples is Esther, who was adopted cousin, and she was only chosen queen because the previous queen was forced to leave. She was dismissed. Mm. And Rahab, who was a prostitute an engaged virgin and had to tell her fiance that she was pregnant. These are all three women, very strong women that had to pivot. And I would say that would be the definition of a woman, a strong woman, a woman who has the ability to pivot. And I have some verses that I would just mention because we don't have the time to read them. And I'll just try to sum up. But it's Esther chapter 4, verses 1, verses 4, and verses 5 through 17. And basically, Mordecai, he learned of the plans that Haman had. He was very dry, closed. Esther found out, her people told her, and he told her what she needed to do. She needed to approach the king. Yeah. And she sent back the message that if I approach him, I'm going to be put to death. Yeah. And his response to her was, which I love, and he was like, if you don't do it, God will surely raise up someone else. So she had the ability to, and she made this decision and said, okay, I'm going to fast. And so, to do that. So she pivoted, and if you know the story, she approached the king. The king, she was so strategic. Mm-hmm. She approached the king. You could tell everything was led by prayer because it just wasn't so like quickly done. Yeah. And she met her, and it was exposed, and Haman was put to death. Rahab was a prostitute. She had the ability to pivot, by recognizing these men of God and saying, I know what God did for you. I've heard of what God's done. I'm going to help you and protect you if you promise, if you save my family. So she did what she had to. She hung the scarlet robe and she saved them. She didn't save them, but she provided that to cover them when they were hiding. Yeah. And also to give them a place to come to when they walked around Jericho three times.
Yeah.
And Mary, she was engaged, and she found out she was pregnant, and she was like, but I haven't been with a man. And the angel basically reassured her, and then she just accepted it, and she said, okay. So what I love about all of these things is that with Esther, Rahab, and Mary and their ability to pivot was that all of these, they were doing it for the betterment of their family. And that I really appreciated and spoke to me, because that's what, like, I'm really about, is to do what's best for my family and what's best for the people that are connected to me. Esther, she did it for her people. Rahab, she did it for her family. And Mary, she did it for her family. Even it was just her and her fiance, even though she had a small family. So that was just really beautiful. And I'm just glad that you led me into finding that.
That's good.
Also, what I found, in order for us to be strong women, is that we need to be in community and relationship with one another, encourage one another. And I got that from Titus 2, verses 2 through 5. It's basically, in those verses, it's telling the older women what they need to teach the younger women to be in relationship with each other. And then the last thing you had asked me was, what are my go-to scriptures? And I hope I'm not going too fast. Maybe you was going to add that later.
Yeah, you good. You good.
I want to read my go-to script. This has been my go-to scripture for this, like, presently, because I've just been really just been tried and been tested. And my go-to scripture has been Ephesians 6:12. Lee has sent me a clip today quoting that scripture, and I was like, look at God. But that's been my go-to scripture, and Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual in the heavens. So whenever I feel like people are trying me or coming against me, I remember I read that verse. I'm like, it's not flesh, it's not this person. I'm in spiritual warfare. It's a spirit that I'm dealing with. So instead of me taking offense to what they're doing, my offense turns into a concern that they're going through something, that have fear on them. So it becomes less about me and more about them. And now I know the spirit I'm dealing with. And now I feel empathy and compassion towards them. And I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for myself and keep it moving.
That's next level maturity. That's good. That's what we need to get to as strong women of faith. That's really good, Simone. Keep going. I'm sorry.
So you have to, because I was just taking offense on after offense, where I literally was feeling just broken down and like, I cannot live like that. I cannot keep on. I have to realize what I'm dealing with. My favorite scripture of all time, since I can remember, it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all through Christ who strengthens me. But so I knew that verse when I was a little girl, but it was not until as an adult when I read Philippians 4:12, which unlocked the power of that scripture.
Yes.
So just from it just seems like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means whatever I can do, I know through God I can accomplish it. Mm-hmm. But Paul's situation when he said this just makes it so much powerful. He was in jail. He was writing letters to encourage these people. And this is what he says. He says in verse 12, I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. So he was saying he can do all things through Christ when he has nothing. I don't have strength in my body, whether I don't have strength because I haven't had nothing to eat or because I'm spiritually drained and I feel like I can do it, or maybe I'm not lacking in abundance where I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like my circumstances, I'm so tired, I'm so drained, and I feel like I can't help nobody, I can't be of service to nobody. Gotta stand by and say, I can do all things through Christ. It's not about me, it's about what Christ can do.
So true.
So, those are my go-to scriptures. Those have been my my pick-me-up and to remind me of who God is and what I'm dealing with and what I need to do. So, yeah.
That's so good. Girl, you done preached up in here.
Girl,
you gave a whole word, a Bible study about this. That's a word, though. Like women of strength, like, have the ability to pivot. Like, that's so true and so good, the whole thing. Like, when you were talking, I should have wrote it down because you said so much stuff. Like, godly women of strength are women who have spiritual discernment, for one. Like, having that discernment to know what spirits we're dealing with, and not just to know, but how to manage and fight and war. Like, when we're operating in the flesh, we, like, you know, past instances, you know, we're arguing with the person, we fighting, we, you know, attacking them because they're attacking us, we coming at them because they're coming at us. But women who are really operating out of the spirit, we're able to discern and we're able to take it to prayer, and we're able to bring it before God, and we're able to declare the word of God. Like, that's just next level maturity. Like, and it takes time to get there. And it takes the continuous seeking of God, because it's so easy, because we live in this human flesh body, and we live in this world, and we don't see the spirit, but we see the person, and we feel the words, and we feel the pain and the offense and the wounds. And to deal with stuff in the spirit realm, to deal with stuff in the spirit realm for your marriage, for your kids, for your job, for your relationships, that's a godly woman. That's a godly woman of strength, for real. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much other stuff that you said, the ability to pivot, the ability to discern, and I'm so tired, I can't remember everything.
I love the fact of who these women were, which is why I wanted to point out that Esther was an adopted cousin. And a lot of it's easy for us to see our circumstances and think that cripples us or inadequate or not qualified to be a woman of God, to do great things, and to do ministry, to share, to help people. So that's why I love getting to know the people in the Bible and who they were and what their background, because God didn't use anybody perfect. He didn't use cookie cutter story where they had it all together. And I just love that, because I'm definitely not a woman who has it all together at all.
That's so good. That's so true. Yep. Esther, Rahab being a prostitute. Just so many examples, so many people throughout the Bible. So true, so amazing. So that's another thing. Women who are trying to live for God, you don't have to try to bring your resume and and what you've accomplished and all these different things, because God is able to use anybody, any mistakes that we've made. It's just so crazy how good God is, because he would literally use your mess for ministry, your pain for purpose, right. Your mistakes, where I don't got a word for that, but your mistakes, like, he would literally use these things and birth something out of it to help other people and to help you in your walk and your relationship with him. And it's just amazing. Like, that's the type of God we serve, that literally and truly works everything out for our good. And he's able to use people in such a way, like, and I love that it's a scripture in the Bible, and I can't think where it's from because I'm tired, but it talks about how God will use what the world would see as like nonsense or foolishness. Like, God will use it because it clearly brings him glory.
Right.
Like, people that the world wouldn't go to, or people that the world wouldn't celebrate, or people that the world wouldn't think that can accomplish these certain things. Like, those are the type of people God
wants
to use.
That's
who he wants. He wants those type of people because he wants to, first of all, of course, use us, but that clearly gives him glory, because it's the only God thing. Like, only God, right. God must be real, because how he used with her background and with what she did and all, like, how could God use? Yes, that's the type of God we serve, y'all. That is the type of God we serve. So it's 11 o'clock. We can definitely keep talking. We got so much stuff to always talk about once we start talking about this Bible and Jesus. There's so much to talk about. But we definitely got to do this again. I sprung this last minute on Simone, because that's how God been doing it on me. It's just been like, hey, the day of, sometimes a couple hours before, I'm like, really, God? So I thank you for being a woman of faith and a strong woman who was able to pivot. and prepare. I thank you so much, Simone. I thank you for just your example, because even though you had your turn up days and stuff like that, you have consistently, like, loved God and been a woman of faith. Even though, we were doing faith, you always had that foundation. You've always been that person. I appreciate that. And I'm just amazed at just the things that God has been doing through you and what's to come. Like I said, like, when you think about just all your responsibilities, the things that you've still been able to produce, the things that you've still been able to do, and how you're just growing, and how you just, like, how you just laid out these women in the Bible, like, you have the ability to minister to so many people, and you help me so much.
Hi.
Yeah, and I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for our friendship and our relationship, because, like you said, it's hard. Like, it's hard trying to be like a Christian woman, like, really trying to live for God, not just saying I'm Christian, but really trying to live for God and have like relationships, because you do feel like maybe I'm like too, like, you know, like, certain things you don't want to engage in, certain things you don't want to do, and that kind of isolates and ostracizes you. But I'm just thankful for our relationship, because I always feel safe, and I feel like I could always be myself, and I could always be honest, and I know that you're never gonna tell me nothing that God didn't lead you to say, and that you go on. Because I remember one season I was mad about something that was going on in church, and I came to you, and I just knew you was gonna have my back and like talk you up with me. And you probably remember this, but you didn't, and you saw it from the lens. You saw it from a spiritual and godly lens, and I didn't want to hear it. And you probably don't remember this, but I remember it. And you kind of just helped me, like, okay, girl, you gotta be more mature about this. You didn't say it in those words. But your response was like, you got to be mature about this. You got to see this through God's lens and stuff like that. But I just thank you. I thank you for our relationship. And I love you. And I am just excited and looking forward to all the things that God is going to do through you. And I just want to carry your Bible. Girl, I was thinking about introducing, like, being all extra, like how they be on Southside Rap.
I thought that would have been so fun.
But I was so sleepy, I couldn't even think of anything. But we gotta do that one day. So I thank you, y'all. If y'all just hopping on, y'all gotta go back and watch the replay. I hope it's saved. I don't do lives on Instagram, y'all. I can't believe I'm one of the technologically challenged people. Like, this is like, what's going on? So hopefully this saves. If not, I don't know what to tell y'all.
Tune in for day 17.
And tune in for day 1 through 15. Thank you, Simone. Y'all, remember just some things that Simone shared. Being a woman of God, being a woman of strength in God, is a woman that's able to pivot, is a woman that's able to do all things through Christ, because they're able to be content with whatever circumstances they're in. They know that God is going to give them the strength. And it's a woman that's able, no matter what her past is, you're qualified, no matter what your past is, God is able to use you. And we're going to leave you with that. Love y'all. Y'all have a great night. See y'all tomorrow for day 17. Okay, how you log out of it? Okay, I guess I pressed the X.
Goodbye.